Welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindicars.com. My name is Abhishek, and this cover package is around climate change, among the most pressing concerns for countries across the globe. Joining me to talk about it is Forbes India's Divya Shekhar, who's authored a bunch of stories, including the cover. Hi, Divya. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you, Abhishek.
I love the start of your opening essay, where the strap or the rubric reads, it's always a good time to talk about climate change, which is pretty much true. Why is that? And it's a pretty big package. What did you guys set out to achieve in this one, Divya?
So we set the tone by saying that it's always a good time to talk about climate change. But more specifically, when we were discussing about this package, we said that, 2023 is the year of global climate stocktake, right? So we have the COP28 that's to be held in UAE in November, where world leaders will discuss the progress that they've made around climate action. Before that, in September, India will preside over the G20 Leaders Summit in Delhi, which will be a culmination of all the G20 processes and meetings that have been held through this year. And climate is one of the key focus areas. So as we set about finalizing stories or discussing stories in this package, we realized that, for a long time, as I've written in the piece as well, that stories about climate change were met with denial or indifference, like something that either did not exist or was happening so slowly that it will hit us only in the future. Over the last few years, basically, we've had a whole lot of people talking about it, having conversations around it. We have a whole lot of startups and companies, like we see in this package, trying to come out with various innovations or in order to solve for various aspects of climate change. So we thought we would put all this together. Like, we also try and talk about what is the GDP loss due to climate change, what is India's ambitious green energy transition blueprint, what does it look like, what are the challenges for us in achieving that, how far along are we or how close are we towards achieving that goal that we have set for ourselves, what does climate change education in schools look like. This, like you said, it's a topic of conversation among so all of us, right? We've started talking about it, we've started feeling the impact of climate change in our day-to-day lives, and but to what extent are children being sensitized to it at an early age? So there are a whole lot of stories that look into various aspects of it.
And one thing you spoke about, it affecting us, I think food prices is something that we've seen in recent past, like the heat waves in March and April have said to have killed tomato plants, the prices of which have gone through the roof, and they've been stolen as well across state borders, etc. So the climate change is quite real, unlike some who believed it was a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese. Mm-hmm. You've written about 6 startups, 3 of which make it on the cover. What are the kind of stories that have been covered, Andivya?
In the climate tech startups package, we've attempted to identify 6 startups that are working on different aspects of climate change. So there is a startup that's working in the space of biofuels, for example, developing large-scale sustainable alternative feedstock of seaweed, So they say that, it can potentially replace anything that we do today with crude oil. They are basically farming the ocean. There's another startup that has a patented technology, which they say is the world's first retrofit emission control device, which can capture over 70% particulate matter emissions from the exhaust of diesel generators. So there's something that deals with pollution. There's something, there is another startup that sort of talks about a technology that can optimize power usage in huge companies and thereby help redirect it to places that don't have power or, experience frequent power cuts. So basically trying to solve for the access issues in power consumption that we have currently. Then there's one more which sort of which is potentially running Asia's largest bio CNG plant in Indore, along with 100 other captive biogas units. So the point of featuring them is to say that climate tech is maturing as an asset class for investors. Startups are attracting meaningful funding. There are startups that are coming with Very interesting ideas. Now, a lot of the founders, when I was talking to them, say that, unlike, say, fintech, for example, or e-commerce, you won't find a unicorn in the climate tech space. That's because the gestation period for a climate tech startup is a it's it takes a really long time. It's a long gestation period that these startups have. And to see some of these innovations to fruition and to achieve that scale, takes a really long time. But now we are seeing that investors are coming forward, and some of these startups are attracting meaningful funding. For example, the three startups that we've featured on the cover, C6 has garnered close to 40 million in investments. Chakra has 22 million, and GPS has close to 20 million in investments. $20 million. These are all US dollars. The idea was to say that, okay, these are the innovations out there. These are the business ideas out there. This is what they've achieved, and this is what the investment ecosystem also looks like.
And in terms of the importance of the subject itself, you have stories around how it has created employment, especially for women. Women in different parts of the country are using, say, solar-powered contraptions to help with their entrepreneurial journeys, whether it is a sewing machine or a milking machine, for that matter, instead of doing that manually. Is that something that is mushrooming slowly?
Yeah, I think as and when the funding ecosystem matures, as and when we have stronger policies that are being implemented, when we have more companies wanting to more comp not only companies, but also in case of, say, the solar story, you see a lot more stakeholders coming forward to take this to the last mile and bring have that kind of consistent, steady investments to see these through. So I think that is quietly happening. Like, I think we are seeing that happen. And the solar power story does a very good job of putting a lot of faces to such stories, right? I mean, you see how women are utilizing this on at the ground level, and you also see facilitators making that possible for them. There is a lack of investment, both for profit investments and also maybe CSR and philanthropic funding that is being given for innovation. Like, I think Harish Hande says, right, of Selco, he says in that story that once an ecosystem is set up or innovative solutions have proven to work, the government can help scale it up. He says that everyone wants to put in money for activism and not building an ecosystem and innovation. But I think that, we have cases to show that we are getting there. There's a lot more push that's needed.
And speaking of which, how much do you think are school curriculums changing to get our kids ready for their future? Because they are the ones who will be facing brunt of the changing weather patterns and climate change. I love the illustration that goes with the story, which is a library filled with books across different sections, science,
Yeah.
maths, English, etc. And the climate section is pretty much bare or sparse. So that's, is that how you see it?
When we started, sort of my colleague Anubhuti started reporting on this, efforts to educate children and young students is gaining momentum, but the current education system still really falls short of making climate change education front and center in schools. It's really not the kind of education or the quality of education that needs to be there for a problem of this scale. It's just, when we were growing up, a lot of it was just environmental studies that we just had to go through, for the sake of it. And, there was nothing that we could apply in our lives or we could connect to in our own lives, right? It was just barely there for the sake of it. But now I think there are organizations, the University Grants Commission mandated all undergraduate programs to include environmental education as part of their syllabus in accordance to the National Education Policy. NEP 2020 recognizes the importance of climate change education. And similarly, for in a lot of schools, there are efforts, like there are a lot of startups that have come in, which are working in this space, trying to engage schools in helping them create stronger curriculums. But as my colleague writes, it's more like two steps forward, one step back in this situation. And if you read the story, you'll know why. introducing climate change education in schools is a long, long, long way off.
The subject is not terribly exciting or entertaining as much as, let's say, a physics can be or history. There also needs to be a way to make it interesting and entertaining, which some comic creators, your package suggests, are doing to make the subject a little more palatable and interesting.
Yeah, in fact, this is one of the most interesting stories for me personally in this edition. It sort of talks about, in this age of digital content consumption and social media, and where I think youngsters speak a different language. There are a whole lot of people who are engaging with others using, say, digital comics that are informative but present data, present facts in a way that's, easily understandable, easily palatable to anyone who's reading it. There are also climate or environment organizations that are encouraging poetry around climate change. And you have these whole lot of, say, spoken word poets and others who are writing poetry around climate change. So there is a whole lot of effort that's going on. There are a lot of these interactive graphic platforms or data storytelling platforms that are being leveraged to tell stories about climate change in a more innovative way, in a way that's more relatable to people. Also, sort of encourages people to sit up, take notice, and take action with respect to climate change. So, that's also an interesting development. We've tried to give readers a glimpse of the comics as well. And online, you'll also find the interactive graphs and videos that we have uploaded on the site for people to see what kind of work that these people are putting out. So, yeah, that's an interesting story.
Lovely. Thank you, Divya, for your time on this podcast. Thanks for summarizing the pretty big package that you have this time around again.
Thank you so much, Abhishek.
Thank you. All you listeners, you can get this podcast on ForbesIndia.com or any other app that you use to download your podcasts and to have someone call you for a Forbes India subscription, message Forbes to 51818.